I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
It's just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
This is the John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Welcome to Daddy's House Farty, the podcast of this week's John Richardson Show. Will's shaking his head, but I've said
it
now.
He's not happy. He's not happy.
You have to call it that.
Farty, do you know how to spell farty in that context?
I don't know.
It's V-A-T-I.
Okay, all right.
All right, don't put farty, put party, otherwise it makes no sense.
Okay, whatever, all right.
Is the wonderful League of Gentlemen joke with Hairlip. My farter was a very strong farter. It was a very quiet farter. So that is a reference to Angela's good deed of the week. It's a reference to one of our news that wasn't in the news that could, would or should have been in the news. Mm-hmm. Basically my way of saying all the regular stuff is there. Some borderline smut to listen out for,
what?
I'd say.
I don't know. I think what happens is you are so braced for smut when I'm here.
Yes.
That you make smut out of things that aren't smutty. Any sentence I say, you two filth monkeys just turn it into smut. And I'll be halfway through a completely innocent sentence and then I just see you both crumble in front of me trying to hold it together. And I genuinely don't know what I've said.
You bring a lovely 70s energy to it. I'm amazed that we've got this far without ever using the sound.
Will's going to start looking that up for next week.
Yeah, and you're lucky at this point that we'd already named the podcast before you used the phrase, you two filth monkeys, because that would have gone straight in there, I'll tell you that. Anyway, thank you for downloading. If any of this sparks your imagination, if you've got a good deed for next week that I can use to offset the poison from within me, if you spot anything in the news or you hear anyone misusing the word literally, then please get in touch. john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Enjoy the show.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Hello, good morning, happy Saturday. It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes.
Hello. Right,
how are you doing?
I've got a bone to pick now.
Already?
Because I listened to last week's podcast and Susie got a cheer.
Okay.
I just got silence then. Did you hear that? I could not believe it.
Susie,
it was like,
get silence
Susie.
And then a cheer?
No. Oh, no. It was welcome Susie Ruffle, big cheer. And I was like, I've been on this show, what, 18 months? Never got a cheer.
Okay, well. You know what to do. It's Angela Barnes.
Thank you. I'm just asking for it to be fair, that's all.
Well, we're off then. This is a good start because we always start by recapping what happened last week for anyone who couldn't be here.
Yes.
And producer Will just said to me before we started, full disclosure, this one's a bit mean. So I'm going to brace myself because I assume it's not mean about Will's work last week. I assume Will came across quite well last week. Anyway, not the cleanest show on the radio, but certainly the tidiest. So we always kick off with a little recap of what happened last week. If you couldn't join me and Susie last week, this sums it up.
I just deliver my poison with a smile on a velvet cushion.
Oh, that's what the cushion's for.
That's what the cushion's for.
I thought it was because you weren't tall enough for the desk.
Do you know, I have to say, John, I listened to the podcast last week and I was just pottering at home listening to it, and there was a point where I said out loud, I'll leave him alone, he's doing his best.
Oh, that's even worse. Oh, it's even worse. Oh, not the niceness. He's trying, isn't he?
He's doing his best.
Anyway, as you may have realised from that clip, it was a slightly chaotic show last week. I was, as a result, made to second guess every word I said by Susie and the production team, and it appears that Derek picked up on that.
Hello, John. I know last week's show was particularly chaotic, so much so I wanted to let you know that I normally listen to all podcasts at 1.2 speed for efficiency. Listening to your podcast from last Saturday, I actually had to slow it down to 3/4 speed. Love the podcast and the chaos. Derek from Vancouver, Canada.
That's lovely. You must sound like a chipmunk to him. Was that too mean? I've gone in. It's because I've listened to Susie.
You're just
I'm like,
matching
right,
the energy.
Apparently you could get away with this. I'm going to go for it.
You're just matching the energy. Once again, a voice note from a listener who sounds like he should be presenting his own radio show.
Yeah, very slick.
I thought he was Scottish at the beginning and then in kicked the Canadian.
Yeah.
Now, last week's I Love You But also caused some controversy. Sophie gave a dedication to her husband, Steve, after he said he was happy for her to have her own opinion. Transpired, though, that Sophie had previously made a dig about Steve building Lego as a fully grown man. We asked for some clarification on that. I'm delighted to say Sophie's been back in touch.
Hi, John. It's Sophie from Poole. Thank you so much for letting me have the one and only dedication last week to Steve. I just felt I needed to get back in touch, though. I've also attached some photographs so you can have a look at our spare room. Now, it came across like I was a bit anti-Lego. I'm not anti-Lego. It's fine. Let's celebrate his hobby. What we're forgetting, though, is he said, I'm happy for you to have your own opinion. Now, can we just think about this for a second? Are we going to let that go? Do I now have to ask his permission to have an opinion? Food for thought. I think you need to reconsider and be 100% Team Sophie.
Oh, she's got a point.
We're
looking now at the... Oh, my God, now I've changed my mind.
Oh, there you go. You've seen the car.
I've seen the cars.
So are we Team Steve? All I will say for Steve... He is saying, I'm happy for her to have an opinion. He's not saying, I don't want your opinion. And I think that's progress.
Oh, John.
She says,
keep
do I have
digging.
To ask to ha-? She says, do I have to ask an opinion? And I think she's been given the go ahead by Steve to have opinions, not just on Lego, but presumably all around the house and maybe outside as well. Well, I think Steve sounds like a good guy.
I mean,
guy.
We don't know the jurisdiction that she's got for opinions, do we? That's very much up to Steve, it seems.
And I tell you what. I've got more Lego in my house than that. I think that's quite tame.
I quite like the cars, the way that they've presented the cars on the wall. Literally driving up the wall.
I got a fever when I was a kid and I sort of hallucinated for the first ever time and felt like I was in a car driving around the patterns on the flock wallpaper in my bedroom. So I find cars on the wall quite triggering.
Oh, that's interesting. But I'm glad you brought that up because it means you didn't notice me misuse the word literally just now.
Stay tuned. Will Angela be in the dock later on? If you want to get in touch on that or anything else you've already heard today, john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Welcome back. It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
No round of applause the second time. Is that all right?
Fine. I'm used to it, John. It's fine. Hey. I mean, it's not the same when you have to ask for it, is it?
You say that, but our job basically on tour is asking for applause,
That's
isn't it?
True.
Nobody just walks on stage. That whole offstage mic has been set up by somebody specifically so we can say, I'm coming out now. Will you pretend to be glad? Have you ever tried just walking out and seeing what happens?
Oh, God, because they don't notice you at first. And then it's like a slow dribble of, is it starting? Is it? It's horrible.
They think it's like a theatrical start. We're like, maybe he's going to do something. Like, no, he's just going to start. But it really does affect the energy for the whole second half. Because they're like, oh, it's rubbish when he doesn't say his little name, isn't it? How have you been? What have you been up to?
I'm all right. It's been a busy week, John.
I've
travelled up from Swansea this morning, so you're welcome.
Thanks, mate.
It's all right.
What were you doing in Swansea?
I've been recording a series for another radio station, comedy club across the country, so it's quite exciting.
Excellent.
So I've been doing that, and I haven't...
You've been
really
mocking
fun,
the week as
I've been
well,
mocking
haven't
you? The week. I've been...
You gave it a right good
Apollo.
Mocking, didn't you?
I did. I've been all over your telly this week.
But, it's been chastened.
Oh, yeah. And now we're not on the BBC. We can chasten it even more.
Can you? Are you allowed to be ruder?
I think, it's sort of not been said, but there's definitely that vibe that we can push it a bit more.
Are you going to bring that energy into here?
Absolutely. Do you mean I haven't been?
To be honest, you've been on the line.
Yeah, right? I've definitely walked the line on this show a few times.
My finger hovers over the play next record button just in case. If I see you getting riled up. Cut to record.
The only time I've come... It's usually when we're doing a quiz, isn't it, that I come close to crossing the line. That's when my...
Yeah, the quiz yeah. stopped quite early.
The filter sort of just disappears when it comes to quizzing.
Yeah, it yeah, makes me wonder what they edited out of House of Games when you're on. Richard Osman's House of Filth featuring Angela Barnes.
But what's been nice, John, about my week is, so I haven't been home since Monday, but
that's lovely.
My kitchen's getting done this week.
Keep so, the marriage going. Yeah,
that's not what I meant. That's not the lovely bit. But my kitchen's being done, so that means it started after I left, and when I get back, it'll lovely. Be finished.
Yeah, you've had a lovely week on production dinners, haven't you, while he starves at home?
Absolutely. I've had pints on the production company credit cards. I've had nice hotels all week. I've had a lovely week while he's home covered in dust.
Pot noodled up to the eyeballs, and dinner better be ready when you get back, right? That's what that whole bit said.
Yeah.
You've got a brand new cooker. I expect a themed meal. I've been out promoting my new pub show, which started this week. I had a taxi driver called David who drove me to an interview, who said, I drove Joe Kinnear once, ex-football manager. He said, I drove Joe Kinnear and we had a lovely old chat, and I dropped him at the train station, and by the time I got home that day, he'd been sacked. So I hope that doesn't happen again.
Have you been a nervous wreck ever since?
I was like, oh, thanks very much. Right, well, fingers crossed this isn't the end of me. The kiss of death taxi driver. Anyway, pleased to report, David, that I survived that interview and my career still seems to be in, I mean, whatever, maybe I'm just uncancelable. My career is in the same state it was when he dropped me off, for good or ill. All across the land, people are waking up, staring into the eyes of the people they love and just smiling idiotically at how wonderful everything is.
Got that big day coming up, haven't we, next week? That big day where it's really bad.
Ugh. You're in a marriage, aren't you? Is there a sort of agreement going in, we don't do this? Is there an agreement and then really one of you betrays the other?
We don't really do Valentine's Day. We did. There was one year, probably about 10 years ago, when Matt was going on a snowboarding holiday. And so he left a Valentine's card on the dressing table in the bedroom. And when I opened it, it was cryptic crossword clues to places in the house where he'd stashed presents.
Oh, God, this man sickens me.
I know. Well, so I took photos of it and I put it on, back then when, you know, Twitter was all right. I put it all on Twitter, like the photos of this little treasure hunt I'd done in the house on my own. And it went a little bit viral. And it ended up like in Hello magazine. And so, of course, all Matt's friends are texting him going, oh, cheers, mate. I just got a bunch of flowers from the petrol station and now I'm in trouble. Thanks.
I'll tell you what would go down better in this day and age, with prices being what they are, a litre of petrol from the flower shop.
Yeah,
that
right.
That would go down much better, wouldn't it? This is what we do instead, a little bit of needle. So it's one dedication a week that we give to a listener, as long as they're slightly salty about the person they want to make that dedication for. This week, I hand the reins over to Graham.
Hi, John. Thanks for giving me this week's one and only dedication. And this week, I'd like to dedicate it to my entire family, my wife and two daughters, Madison and Annabelle. Guys, thank you so much for being the best family I could ever have. I love you all very much. But can you please stop leaving your shoes everywhere in the porch? Every single day I come home from work, stepping through the front door feels the same as trying to get on a bouncy castle with the amount of loose shoes I have to jump over. Please either put them in the shoebox provided or keep them elsewhere, because it's driving me mad. Cheers, Graham.
Oh, I've got thoughts.
Please do.
My first thought is, does your wife not have a name?
Yeah,
named his daughters, right? Just my wife and then Madison and Annabelle, the daughters. So that's a tick in her box as far as I'm concerned. Mentioning the bouncy castle, I thought, actually, what would be good? Why don't you just put a bouncy castle, like the bottom of a bouncy castle in the doorway?
Yeah.
And then you can bounce over there, the shoes.
He's gone for an analogy, but he's actually made it sound fun.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it's like in this house. It's like there's a bouncy castle and there's ice cream and there's kids laughing. Oh, that sounds great, actually.
Yeah, can we all come round your house?
Any thoughts on please use the shoebox provided?
That was the moment where I thought, oh, he's channeled John Richardson there, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's just suddenly...
I'm not a fan of a shoebox, no.
No?
If you're full John Richardson, you can't be doing with a shoebox because they don't stay together. They go in there and they get all mixed up. One shoe slips to the bottom. Perhaps a flip-flop goes down the side and then they're not not in pairs.
What have you, got by your front door? You come in the front door, what's happening with your footwear?
The servant. put them on his platter. And I say, please put these away. We've got a little bench for sitting on, for putting your shoes on. And underneath there are specific little cubby holes for each pair of shoes so that they go together.
So they go straight in there. No messing.
And in one at the end, oh, I embarrassed myself this week. This is going too long now. Anyway, you know when you're on tour, sometimes you stay in a posh hotel and you get the little slippers for free.
Oh, yeah.
The little slip. I steal those, I bring them back and I keep them for guests. And this week was my first time. Someone came round and they said, oh, shoes off. And I said, if you don't mind, but do you want a pair of slippers? I tell you what, it was weird.
Yeah,
it was
that very is weird, John.
They went, where have you got them from? Did you buy them? I said, no, I just stayed in the hotel and I brought them. No, I'll be all right, mate. I'll just I've got socks on.
John, that's really weird. You can't do that to people.
I'm really sorry. I'm sorry to the people who came around to my house. I'm sorry to Graham's family that I am Team Graham. Just pop your shoes together. Porch isn't bad, though. My daughter, bottom of the stairs. And then I've got to do the full-on dad. You're trying to break my neck. So just pair them together, pop them by the wall. This is for Graham's family. Welcome back. You're listening to John Richardson and Angela Barnes.
Hello.
Here on Absolute Radio. It's that time
on
of the
where?
Week when we... Absolute Radio.
Absolute. Listen with mother on Absolute Radio.
It's Absolute Radio. We're going to play some music because real music matters.
Get an adult to help you with some blunt-ended scissors and some glue.
That's very good.
Thanks.
You can talk properly, can't you? We both can. If we want to, we can.
Choose
to chew up the English language and spit it out. Now, we're discussing news that wasn't in the news that could, would or should have been in the news to make the world seem a slightly better place. Angela.
Yes.
What do you like this week?
So, I wouldn't usually pick a story on this theme, John. I've picked a boxing story. I'm not really a big boxing fan. I don't really, doesn't do it for me.
You pump iron, don't you? But you just do it. You know,
just to get
for
strong,
the look of it.
But I don't need violence in that, you know.
No, you don't want to be smacking anyone, do you?
No, exactly. I'm a pacifist.
Just flexing in the supermarket, that's what
enough.
You're about.
That should be enough. That should scare them off. I shouldn't need to hit anybody. That's what I'm saying. So, but this is a story about American boxer Jarrell Miller. I don't know if you saw this. He won his heavyweight bout in New York this week, but he was wearing a toupee and the toupee got punched off his head. So he got punched.
Is this a cartoon you're talking about?
It's a real, it does look, if you've seen it, it looks really cartoony.
I'm picturing he gets punched and he flies backwards, but the hair stays where it is and then just gently falls down to the floor. Bobby Charlton
style. And I did think, like, I think I would watch boxing if the objective was to punch the wig off someone. Like, if that was...
Yes.
That was how you knew you'd won, was their wig came off.
If you come out, if you don't know who's fighting and they come out like Guess Who with, like, fake beard, glasses, and eventually you find out who you're fighting.
What's underneath? I think the thing that... So this guy, what happened apparently, according to him, this Jarrell Miller, he said that he'd shampooed his hair at his mum's house and he just picked up a bottle and the bottle was ammonia bleach, like that she must use for dyeing her hair or something. And so all his hair fell out. It's just like, it's like a tonsure, you know, like a monk would have in the middle.
So he's just, you're very good to say a monk.
Thank you.
Thanks, thanks for not just putting, you know, like... Well, like yours.
But what... the decision to wear a wig in a boxing ring, that's quite something, isn't it?
It is.
I know, for example, back in the days when I used to go for a run every now and then, I once made the mistake of not wearing a sports bra, and I'll never do that again. I end up with a black eye and bruised knees. Like, there's no... There's some things you just know. If you're going to do a vigorous sport...
Yes.
You can't be wearing anything that flaps about.
Yes.
You know?
Suddenly shaving your head is quite a... There was that famous Lee Evans routine about the pre-match routine where they come out sort of singing and dancing to music. He said, all you should have is just someone running out of your dressing room a minute before going, that bloke in there's a nutter. There's something quite hard about having hair and then just appearing at the fight going, yeah, I shaved it off.
Yeah, that would really psych out the opponent, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but no, he's gone the other way. And he went on to win the fight.
He did go on to win the fight, presumably because the other bloke was laughing so much. I don't know. I'm guessing that's what happened.
All right. Well, it's a lovely story, and I'm going to pretend that all I'm not thinking about is your black eye and bruised knees. But congratulations to Jarell Miller. Now you speak German, don't you?
Ein bisschen.
A bit?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Do you know the phrase luften?
Luften, to air.
Okay, well, yeah. I've been told that it means something else.
Have you?
I've been told that it means burping. Is that another use of it?
No, well, it's about burping your house, isn't it?
Yes, so... while it may seem an unremarkable practice, luften or house burping is gaining popularity on social media and is trending online.
Yeah, so the Germans are obsessed with fresh air. Frischluften.
Are they?
Yeah. Oh,
Frischluften.
Frischluften. And so every German person I know will open all the windows in their house every day, come rain or shine, whatever the weather, even if it's just for a minute. And so what you do, you start upstairs, open all the windows till you get downstairs, and then you go back upstairs and you close them all. Then they've all been open long enough to freshen your house. Apparently it helps with things like mould spores and stuff like that.
Air's good, isn't it? I've got objection to air.
I like fresh air.
This is the problem. There's obviously old man shouts at cloud kicks in, and you think, they're calling it house burping. It's going on social media. It's just opening your windows, isn't it? It's the young people who think they've invented opening windows.
Yeah.
But then you've got to put that away and just calm down and say, actually, it's more fun to say house burping. My only issue with it is, as you say, surely upstairs is house burping. Downstairs is...
Oh, yeah.
This can't be burping upstairs and down, by definition.
Downstairs is house windy pops.
House windy pops, yeah. Or it sounds German in itself, house fart.
House windy pops.
and house fart.
Yeah, house fart. Well, fart is travel, so...
Oh, is it?
Yeah, fart.
So if you go to a friend's house...
Yeah.
You can fart, house fart. I'm all for, if you're opening windows and like cartoon, like green gas is escaping and the house is going bleh.
Then does it mean it like, you know how you burp Tupperware?
Do you burp Tupperware?
You're supposed to burp Tupperware, you know that, right? Everyone knows that you burp Tupperware. So Tupperware, like proper Tupperware, is designed that you put the lid on and then you like lift the corner and it goes pfft.
Oh,
and then
away from you.
You close it again and that's what keeps it fresh.
Yeah.
You're supposed to burp Tupperware. Why are you both looking at me like this?
If you've got stuff in there a long time, maybe.
No, you're supposed, when you put it in and you put the lid on and then you burp it.
Oh, you burp it immediately that you put the stuff in?
It's not everybody burping their Tupperware.
I've never burped my Tupperware. I'm gonna go downstairs when I get home. I'm gonna hold it to my chest. Just tap it on the back. Just bring up the little windy pops.
Yeah.
Just give it a little tap.
Otherwise it'll all be uncomfortable in the fridge.
Well, there's a weekend job for you. It's a Saturday morning. If you're listening and you're going to the pub tonight, meet friends, and you know they're going to ask what you've been up to, you say, I've had a right day of it. I started by burping the house, and then I had to burp the Tupperware. I've been burping left, right and centre today. Anyway, I just think it's a more fun way of saying I open the window. And you can burp your car.
Burp your car, burp your house.
Burp your car, can't you?
Yeah.
Burp the shed and burp your Tupperware. Anyway, that is toupees and house burping. That's this week's news.
Do you think
that's
the most anyone said burp on the radio?
I mean, no way. Absolutely not. news of world records coming. Maybe that could be ours. We'll tell you more about that next week.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
From Geico Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. Tonight's top worry, if something happens to your apartment and you need to, like, stay in a hotel and pay for it, that would be crazy, right? Art Palpitations has more.
That would be crazy, Tammy, but you got surprisingly affordable renter's insurance through Geico, so it could be covered, giving you peace of mind.
Aww, I love a story that ends well.
Next up, love stories. Are they all they're cracked up to be?
It feels good to worry less. It feels good to Geico.
How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Now, welcome back. We've just done the news that wasn't in the news, that could, would or should have been in the news. We talked about house burping, opening windows, basically.
Yeah.
Now, there are no windows in the studio.
No.
But while we're talking of newsworthy things, and atmospheres that need airing out. There's a stench in here, isn't there, Angela?
Yeah, Will, what have you been eating? Sorry.
It's oh, not that, that kind one. Of stench. Stench.
Yeah, sorry.
It's that one we've got used to. I don't even notice it anymore. It's the stench of somebody who has made a mistake. We're about to do the literal police. There's no two ways about this.
I'm being glib because I know what's coming.
You know what's coming. Right at the start of today's show, we revealed a picture from last week's I Love You But Dedicatee.
Dedicatessen.
We went to the Dedicatessen and we spoke to Sophie and Steve about adults doing Lego. Mm-hmm. We had a picture of Steve's Lego. He's got his Lego cars stuck to the wall.
Looking very impressive, might I say.
Looking wonderful. Sure, what did you say about it? You did spot a McLaren. Let's hear what else you said earlier on today's show.
The way that they've presented the cars on the wall. Like literally driving up the wall. I did. I just want to say, I did hand myself in though, didn't I? Immediately.
You did shop yourself, yeah, and I didn't catch it because I was in slick DJ mode. I was like, it's the top of the show. Yeah. I need to reference all the stuff that's come in. You know, I'm really slick at the start of the show. You'll have known this.
Yeah,
if you listen
absolutely,
for a long time.
Yeah. And I think that's why I let my guard down, because I was in the presence of such great slickness. Yeah.
Here's the thing, Angela. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. It's a Lego car. It's stuck to the wall.
It's not driving, though, is it? Literally,
they're
driving.
Not driving.
They're not in motion. That's the important thing.
Well, look,
do the wheels even
yourself.
Turn on them? I don't know. I just don't know.
What do you think is fair from here on in? Because we're about to talk about other offenders. As I said, we've got a national treasure this week. I welcome your opinion on it, much like Sophie's husband, Steve. You're entitled to an opinion, and I enjoy hearing it.
But I'm also in a position of power, and if I know anything from the world as it stands today, being in a position of power does grant you a level of protection.
I thought you were going to say you had a greater responsibility.
So
yeah, okay, you've gone the other way with it. Fine, okay.
Yeah, maybe it's time to, maybe these billionaires have got a point. I don't know.
Look, I knew that Angela had misused the word literally when she was appointed to the literal police. Do you feel it's appropriate for you to continue in your role? So I'm just going to ask you the question and then I'm going to
I think, can we have a sort of warning system maybe? This is my first warning. Like sort of three strikes you're out, I guess.
Yeah, because you know they'll come for my job. That's the way it goes. They'll be coming for me.
I'm feeling very... Is contrite the word? Is that the word? Do you ever doubt yourself with the words and then go, does that mean something completely... different to what I think it does. No,
but on the subject we were just talking about, do you know what I've learned? Just push through it with confidence. Just most people won't question you.
That's true, isn't it?
Now, we are about to do this week's cases in the Literal Police, but first of all, we had an email from Liam about where the Literal Police came from. He says, "Hello, John, I have a query regarding the formation of the Literal Police. Now, I'm not questioning your originality or brilliance." This is bold.
Wow, most people are.
Yeah, absolutely. But I've just seen an episode of Cats Does Countdown with you and Angela Barnes on a team where John Cooper Clarke talks about his annoyance at people using the word literally wrong. I could see the hamster in your brain running furiously in its wheel.
Spinach.
Oh, no.
Oh, you had that so lined up, Will.
Is that all this was about, Will?
This is why
really
Will gets paid the
about?
Big bucks. He just got an email that had the word hamster button. In it and he's been smiling ever since.
Right. Just to make a note for the appraisal. He says, I'm not going to say it again. I could see a small rodent in your brain running furiously in its wheel and couldn't help but wonder, is this the birthplace of the literal police? Thanks, Liam. Well, let's hear the moment in question.
Are there any words you wish didn't exist?
I'm glad you asked that question, Jimmy, because literally, but only in the way that it is currently used. I was on a train and I was listening in to two women talking about a mutual friend. And this line jumps out of the conversation. He treated her like literally. I was out of my seat. Surely, madam. Surely, figuratively in this.
Huh? Point well
made.
He's
good, isn't he?
He is good.
He's good.
He's good. I don't know how he walks in those trousers. Tight? Oh, my word. But he's good.
He He's not a lunger, though, I'll say that, is he, John? No, Cooper Clarke? They are tight.
He's not going anywhere quickly, is he?
Yeah, he's taking his time. The genius that is John Cooper Clarke there.
I don't remember that happening, but maybe subconsciously it planted a seed, John.
Yeah, I don't think we're claiming to be the first people to take umbrage at people using the word literally incorrectly.
Which is first people with the kahunas to do something about it.
Yeah, we're the first people to build a prison and have the courage to put TV presenters in prison for doing it wrong.
Exactly.
You know, I think that's what it's all about. Has John Cooper Clarke gone to that?
No.
You know, has he hired guards?
He's on the panel show, but has he actually, you know, he's talked the talk, but he hasn't walked the walk, has he?
Has he got blow darts so he can capture these people when they're coming out of the stage door at night?
Exactly.
Is he bundling him in the back of a van? No, he's off writing more poems, isn't he? So, you know, it's one thing to have the idea, it's another to follow through. But thank you. And also, pick you up when you say, I've just seen an episode of Catster's Countdown. Where have you been, mate? Because you know what year that was, don't you?
2019, that was.
Been sat on that one for 7 years,
he
hasn't,
has, hasn't he?
Backdated.
It is repeated to Kingdom Come, though, isn't it?
That is true. That is true. And if you are just getting to it now, there's a show coming out called The Traitors, Liam, which you are going to absolutely love. That's going to blow big. Lots of you getting in touch. Thank you for all your work on the ground. Bobby's on the beat this week. First nomination comes from Amanda.
Hi, John. I have a literal offence to report. Whilst watching the One Show on Tuesday evening this week, I witnessed a literal offence. During a VT clip promoting Red Nose Day, Davina McCall exclaimed that whilst riding a child's tricycle, Jill Scott's knees were literally hitting her chin as she goes past. A blatant literal offence. Please view the evidence at your earliest convenience. Thanks, Amanda Reeve.
I think this might be already the hardest I'm going to have to... Because I love Davina McCall. Almost as much
really?
As I love Louise Wenner. Davina, we were at this awards thing the other night and Davina was on two tables away from me and the person next to me, I was like, I love Davina. She'd go and say hello to her. I was like, I couldn't go and say hello.
There are those people who are untouchable, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think Davina's one. I'll tell you who's another one. I think Nigella's another one.
Yeah.
I don't think you go up to Nigella.
No.
Some people you're just glad to be in their orbit.
That's it. You just feel it radiate off them. Just the national treasureness just radiates, you know.
Well, you've already declared yourself difficult. Luckily for me, what we're talking about is someone promoting a charity event, and there's nothing I love more than removing people who are about to go do a good deed from society.
Great.
So let's hear the offence in question and then I can get into it.
You can see here, Joe Mugg, that's Joe Mugg on a little bicycle. I mean, he is a really brilliant man. I love Jill Scott as well. Look at her long legs. Look, they're literally hitting her chin as she goes past.
Davina.
Do we know they weren't hitting her chin as she
You can past? See their video, Angela.
Can you?
You can see on the video. I mean, to do it when you're looking at footage of something not happening is really... You know, I think we've got to really now launch a full investigation into Davina. You know, how long has this been going on?
Oh, I can't. This is the hardest it's ever been.
Let's go back to the street mate days.
Before I could look up Davina.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that says a lot. I think it's if you're honest, it's an open and shut case.
It is.
She's looking at footage of Jill Scott's knees not smashing her in the face, and she says they're literally smashing her in the face.
Yeah, I mean, she's got to go.
We'll let her out for Red Nose Day. That's
okay.
Fair, isn't it? So she can continue with the charitable work. But for now, she goes to jail. Now, this one has come in anonymously. Anonymously, yeah. There's no name on this one.
Tip line.
Just a tipster. It was whispered to me in a back alley behind Greg's. Someone just handed me a piece of paper.
You're back there looking for discarded vegan sausage rolls again, John. You're doing all right, mate. I don't know why you don't just buy them.
I like street non-meat. We had an anonymous tip-off just that Guy Mowbray, who is the commentator, of course, on Gladiators, may have committed an offence on last Saturday's show. Let's hear it.
Millie is clearly tiring, whilst Ellie is literally flying.
No, she's not. I think that would have made the news.
No, and do you know what I mean? how many people has this gone through? Yes, you've got McCall. She's excited. She's talking about charity work. She's on the One Show, a heady show. It gets us all excited. I'll be there on Monday. I'll be literally in left, right and centre.
Oh, everyone, you know, watch out for that. Make notes.
I'll be literally sat next to Ben Shepherd. You see if I don't say it. See if I don't say it. You know, there is an excuse in the live arena. We're talking here about, this has gone through all levels of compliance. This show has been edited.
Yeah.
And somebody has sat in a room and said that that is okay.
Shocking.
I mean, it sickens me. And I know this is a bit of fun. This really strikes at the heart of what we're asking of our entertainment shows on a Saturday night. There's kids watching. There's little kiddies
exactly
watching.
That. This is a family show, John.
It's a family show.
You've got to be nice, responsible.
You've got a nice family show with just big men in Lycra smashing each other with massive cotton wool buffs.
A family show.
A family show. And we're letting this filth go out on the airwaves. Well, I'm not having it.
No.
No, I'm not having it. I mean, she is on a zip wire. Does that count as flying?
No.
Okay. No. Bye-bye, no. Guy. I mean, he's in jail now. Do you want to defend him now? It'd be quite funny now. if you spot a literal offence, reach out to the Literal Police Hotline. john@absoluteradio.co.uk. You are listening to the John Richardson Show on Absolute Radio with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
Woo!
Thank you, John. Thank you for my whoop. Yeah, too late, Will, with the button pressing there. Too late.
I was worried mine might sound sarcastic on its own, but you whooping for yourself was one of the saddest things I've ever seen. that was really bad.
I did, didn't I? Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Now, if you've listened to the show, I mean, even just for 10 seconds this morning or at any point in our last year and a half, or however long it's been, you will have calculated I can be quite cynical.
Mm-hmm.
This led to one of our producers. Well, no, it led to one of our producers, Charlie, calling me on air a spiteful little goblin man.
Yes.
Which some people would have taken badly. I've sort of worn that as a badge of honour, really.
Yeah, you've run with it, haven't you?
You know when you're like, do you know what? You've nailed that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I am. Yeah.
That's exactly what I am. So, you know, I was faced with a challenge. You can either change, but it's not the month for it, is it?
February. A nothing month, February. Thank goodness it's a short one.
I'm February. You know when the world is bad and you're like, oh, there's that little nasty one as well, just hiding behind all the other stuff.
He's still here.
Oh, my God. Well, at least it's short. So anyway, I was forced with I could either change myself and become more positive, or I can just absorb your good deeds and pretend that by presenting this show, my net effect on the world is good. So we're doing goblin offsetting. That's basically what we're doing. I continue to be a little troll, and you're nice, and I enjoy it vicariously. So I'll start with you, Angela.
Yeah.
Have you put any good back into the world this week?
I did a couple of small goods. One of them, I sort of undermined myself a little bit. So the first one was, I was on a train yesterday, and it was a train to Port Talbot in Wales. And the train, we got to Swindon, and then the train, well, it was just, we sat there for ages, and then there's an announcement, oh, the train's going to have to terminate here because we can't find a driver. Which was really annoying for a start.
How did you get to Swindon?
So we had to wait an hour for the next train. Oh, no, we got to Swindon on the train, John. I just walked to Swindon.
I've got it as far as I can. The train conductor said, I've pushed us to Swindon and I'm knackered now.
That must have been what happened. Because I don't know, where did that driver go? I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what happened.
The magic roundabout.
And there was a man in the carriage who, he'd been on a Zoom call. And so he wasn't really listening to the announcements,
but also he
was a German man. Yes, he was speaking German on the Zoom call. And and I heard him say on the Zoom, he sort of looked around as we're all getting off the train, and he said, "Ich weiß nicht warum alle steigen aus der Zug aus," which means everyone's getting off the train, I don't know why.
No idea if you've just got us both cancelled there.
I haven't, I promise you.
I guess we'll find out.
So I just sort of went and in very patchy German said, told him what had happened. So,
oh, that's really nice work.
Yeah, so that was quite nice. And then the other thing, I really tried to do something nice, but it ended up looking really bad. So there's an organisation called Best in Class. You'll like what they do, John. I don't know if you've heard of them in comedy. So you'll know, as a working class person right now, it's very hard to get started in comedy because you have to do a lot for free. So this organisation was started by a brilliant comedian called Sean in Liverpool. It's called Best in Class, and it supports working class young new comics, and they do a show in Edinburgh every year called Best in Class, and they've just announced their lineup for this year, and they've got like a GoFundMe to help support these working class, low income artists. So I thought, oh, I'll make a donation. That's a nice thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so I made a donation, you know, as much as I could afford to make. But what I didn't realise, I'd accidentally clicked on monthly rather than one off. So it wasn't until it all went through and then I got an email receipt. It's like, thanks for your monthly donation. I was like, I can't afford to pay that every month. So I had to like go back and
cancel it.
but what you could do, because obviously people do that. So there was a thing where you could say, did you accidentally press monthly? All right, do this and we'll make sure it's just a one-off. So I had to like go to the owner. I didn't mean, I'm so sorry. I can't afford to give you that much every month.
Those
I wish
are really
I could.
Good, you know. Those are really good. I mean, you've helped a visitor to our land and you've made it. And I fully support, you know, a better pathway for working class. All I would say is let's let the working class people who are in the industry finish.
Right, before we get we're done, ones. Then you can take over.
It's absolutely. Like, I'm not drawing a ladder up. Just let me get to the very top and then you can start your journey. You can foot the ladder while I'm on it. That's
you
what
can
I
what?
Nice. You'd foot the ladder where you put your foot on the bottom of the ladder so it doesn't slip
I've
away.
I've never heard it said you can foot the ladder. I've never heard that before. You will?
I forget, of course, that you're not in renovations like I am.
Right,
four,
yes,
four
of
Wednesdays
course.
At nine. You can see, of course, me single-handedly renovating a building. I'm up ladders all the
time. I'd love to be the builders renovating your pub, listening to you on the radio. Go, yeah. I single-handedly renovated a building. I'd like to see you go in that pub now, mate, and see what happens when now you've said that.
I mostly use the ladder just to be the same height as people when I'm talking to you. However, I do sometimes use it as the pub. Anyway, my good deed this week, you know, when you're at the self-service checkout, I took my basket and two other baskets back to where the baskets go by the door.
Oh, so you...
Yeah, it's not as good as it's not as good as well, you done, donating
John.
Money to charity and helping German people on stranded trains. Anyway, you're listening to a very tense Absolute Radio studio where Angela Burns has a burp.
Burns then, but it is burning.
Did I call you? It's because I was about to say burp. Yeah. Angela burps.
Angela burps has a Barnes.
If you were house burping, you would say it's at the top of the landing.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of sitting there. It really wants, but it I don't want to force it because that can end in tears. So
no.
You know, we're all just right. Gonna. I apologise now if it. Makes an appearance.
It can be your good deed for the week if you burp on air, as far as I'm concerned. I love it. We've heard Angela's good deeds for the week. Time to turn my attention to you and find out what good deeds you've done this week so I can feel better about being a spiteful little goblin man. This week, Steve has been in touch with a double whammy of good deeds.
Oof. Hi, John. I have a couple of good deeds to report this week. Firstly, I dropped my amazing wife of 27 years, Millie, at Gatwick Airport last Saturday. That's a good deed in itself, but if that wasn't enough, I was dropping her there because she's flying to Costa Rica to do amazing volunteering work for 3 months. Good deeds all round, although I'll miss her very much. Cheers, John. Steve from Berkhamsted.
Oh, do you know
what?
I love Steve because he named his wife.
He did.
He actually told us her name was Millie.
Can we talk about how happy he was that his wife's not going to be around for 3 months?
I mean, he did sound like a very happy soul, didn't he, Steve?
He sounded like a man skipping to the pub, if I might make so bold.
My lovely wife of 27 years is going away!
Yeah. Dropped her at the airport to make sure. I've watched her go through security and you're not allowed back through once you've gone through. So she's gone.
Do you know,
you're
to drop someone
job.
At the airport now, it costs a tenner.
It does, yeah.
Just to drop someone off at the airport. Unbelievable.
Drop them just outside the long stay car park. Make them get the free bus in.
They is that
don't
what you do?
Parts yeah. in the car park. Well, I'm not saying I do it, but you know, I'm just saying one could do it. But you know, congratulations to you, Steve, and congratulations to your amazing wife of 27
Millie
years.
Millie doing 3 months. In Costa Rica, voluntary work. I mean, it depends what the voluntary work is that she's doing.
Listen, the problem with this feature is it is about celebrating the good things you've done, and I'm delighted about that. But don't start, and I'm warning all of you now, don't start using this as a way of sneaking around the I love you bot by saying nice things about people. That's not what this is about. All right? So I heard that. Oh, my
that.
Amazing wife. Yeah, just be careful. You're right on the line there. All right, Steve?
We'll let it go this time because it's new, right?
Thank you for your good deed. How's that burp doing?
Still lingering.
Right. Now, Angela.
John.
I want to play a little game with you.
Oh, that was the creepiest thing that's happened to me in a long time. What
was
that?
From the film Saw.
Oh, I've never watched the Saw films.
Oh, light-hearted comedies, very sort of in the John Hughes mould. You picture John Candy if he'd still been around, might have been in the Saw films. So, listen, I did something this week. I'm trying very hard, but, you know, make no bones about it. I'm trying to be very healthy. I'm really trying, Angela. I'm trying to exercise and I'm trying to eat right and all that stuff. And just it's that time of year, everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
Or you go the other way and you're like, do you know what? I'm going to give myself January, February off. I'm going to have it large. I'm going to have a beer, a fancy beer. I'm going to eat what I like. You go either way. It's up to you. Anyway, this week, one of the things I tried to make myself feel a bit better and give myself some energy was a cold shower.
Oh, yeah, it's supposed to be really good for you.
Yeah. Now, are you familiar with the online viral sensation game Guess My Fart?
I am. I love that. Matt refuses to play it with me.
I don't think I'd play it with my partner, given the choice.
Oh, I really want to play it.
I love watching it. For any listeners not aware, somebody is about to break wind. They'll run into their partner and say, guess my fart. Their partner has to guess the noise the fart's going to make. And if they get it right, it goes on the internet and millions of people have joy in their lives.
It is great. I've lost a lot of time watching Guess My Fart.
Do you want to play Guess My Goblin?
Yes, I'm really scared. Yes.
I set the old phone to record when I was getting in the cold shower. And I'd like you, Angela, to guess what noise you think I made when I stepped into a cold shower in my house.
Okay, I think I can do this.
Yeah.
Oh!
Let's have a listen.
Go on.
I'll tell you what.
It's not far off.
If anyone had tuned in just as you played that, they'll think they're listening to Jazz FM. Like, it was very, very sensual.
I tell you what, you're not far off.
I got the first bit not far off, didn't I?
I'd say yours was more sort of pathetic at the end. Mm. More like, because I sort of maintained...
What happened in yours, I think you started, like, really high. And then you were like, be manly, I'm recording this.
Well, no, the manliness is the real me.
Of course.
That's what happened there. There was a brief moment when I lost composure. But, I don't know if that's a regular feature.
I was going to say, is that going to be a new part of your life now, the cold shower, do you think?
I am willing to accept challenges. john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Things I can do that might make me make weird noises. And then you can guess what noise I make.
I like this game.
There we go.
Yeah.
Guess my goblin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll
absolutely.
Do some noises for you. Great.
I'd like to hear. You're back to weightlifting now, aren't you?
I am. Oh, yeah. Should we do a deadlift noise?
I think a next record deadlift noise maybe would be a nice thing.
Great.
So we're already nearly at the end of another show. Can you believe it?
Flown by when you're having fun, doesn't it?
There are weeks I come in and I think, we just have a laugh for a few hours, don't we? And then we leave. It doesn't feel like work.
It is nice.
But,
it is
but
lovely.
Today's been a real chore.
Okay, fine.
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah.
We make it sound like work, but it doesn't always
feel
like
it. Today's been real graft. Saturday mornings being what they are, people dip in and they dip out. If you'd like to hear the full version of today's show, or you heard it all and you'd like to hear it again, of course we release the show as a podcast on the Rayo app or wherever you get your podcasts. Needs a title, doesn't it? A snappy little title to make those on the line think, well, that looks like something I should download. Maybe I won't listen to all the depressing news ones. you got any suggestions?
Well, you've got to represent what happened in the show, so I thought maybe burp my courgette.
Burt my courgette. Nice. Well, I've gone with
Will
a similar
upset
reference.
By that one. I don't know.
Well, there was a reference to Noel Edmonds earlier when you were talking. You were sort of manifesting something you wanted from the universe.
Ooh.
So I've gone for Noel's house farty.
Oh, nice. Oh, Will doesn't look happy with that either. Will's
not happy with that one either.
No.
Maybe Will would like to make a suggestion.
And also, we spoke German a bit, right? And farty is German for daddy.
Oh,
so,
there you go.
There you go.
Daddy's house farty.
You're right, Will.
Yeah, there we go. If you want to listen to the full podcast of this morning's show, then please download Daddy's House Farty wherever you get your podcasts. So we've come to another fascinating episode of the John Richardson Show on Absolute Radio.
See, fascinating is an interesting adjective you've chosen
there,
because that can mean... it's doing a lot of work, that word. It can mean a lot of things.
It was the word choice of a man who'd got to the sentence part where he needed to say a word and hadn't thought about which word to say.
Oh, right, okay. I'm reading too much into it.
Didn't want to make so bold as to say another hilarious episode or another gripping episode. What would you, how would you, well, this is a, do you know, what a great way to start this week's appraisal. Mm. I'd like you two to tell me what word you would use to describe this week's show.
Oh, one word.
So, thank you for joining another edition of John Richardson's radio show, which Angela would describe as...
Can I use more than one word?
Yeah, if you like.
On the edge?
On the edge. Oh, that sounds like... That's a bit close to on the brink for me. Will?
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Oh. Okay, I don't mind ridiculous. Ridiculous is fine.
That's in the same arena as funny, isn't it? So that's fine.
That's not how I meant it.
Okay, fine.
Not wacky though, right?
Oh, we never aiming for wacky.
No, please, no. Please. Is there anything that you two think that I could improve in the way that I've dealt with you two this week?
Well, I just think, John, that this week you have really owned the spiteful little goblin man. Like before, when that's come up, you've looked a little bit sad, but it's like you've crossed the Rubicon in your brain. You've made a little decision to go, do you know what? Just own it. I am a spiteful little goblin. I'm going to lean into it.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Will?
It's impressive.
So I think I gave you three words last week, didn't I?
A new low, wasn't it, last week?
Yeah. So just based off the last sort of three or four links, four words this week, an even lower low.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So.
Well, that means, you know, that's... Is that better or worse? I don't know, but it's...
It's definitely progress.
It's progress. It's movement.
The sitcom writer in me really wants to write a spoof sitcom called Hello, Hello, which is about... set in a French village that's in even worse nick than it was 30 years ago. No, listen, Will, I do have to start your appraisal by saying, obviously, we arrive. You've got all the voice notes together for the listeners. You put together a lovely document so that I can pretend I know what's happening. That's always gratefully received. You know what you did this week, didn't you? You know what you did. Well, what would you say, looking back, is the thing that you did that perhaps might have upset me this week?
Nothing comes to mind, honestly.
Nothing comes to mind. Well, there was the expression, it must be nice to work with someone nice, while Angela was telling an off-air story about one of her colleagues.
Yes.
But that was meant as a joke. What button did you press this week?
This one.
No, don't press it again. Right. Okay. Okay.
You did ask for that, John.
Oh, I did ask for it, yeah. Did I literally ask for it, though? No, I did not. So just something to look at for next week, or something for next week's producer to look at, whether my emails finally get through to those in charge. Angela, I know you've suggested a podcast title of On the Edge, and I think you know that's down to your own innuendo, which on air has been on the line and off air has been frankly unbearable.
Well, off air, it wasn't really innuendo, was it?
You did incriminate yourself in the literal police, which is something that I need you to work on going forward. You know,
but I confessed.
You did confess, but we need to be held to a higher account than that. So if you could, but you know, you clawed that back with a wonderful news that wasn't in the news story. And then the quote of the week, which the listener won't have heard, came during one of our records when Angela said to me, if you'd have been born 30 years ago, you could have been Mike Yarwood. And that is going to put such a skip in my step for the rest of the week.
Stand by it. Your impressions are astounding.
It's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me, and that in itself is reason for me to go and seek therapy. But I thank you for saying it. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for getting up so early to be with us today. Thank you, Will. Charlie's the performer of the week by not being here. She hasn't upset me at all. We'll be back next week with more Saturday 8 a.m. on Absolute Radio. Coming up next, Sarah Champion, and then it's rock and roll football. Andy Bush is into disco and Claire Sturgis back. Have a fantastic weekend. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
There we go. That is it for this week. I mean, just good luck. You forget how grim February can be.
It can be. But, you know, I've really enjoyed myself this week on this. I thought I came in a bit tired. As you know, it's been a busy week.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, come on, Barnes, you're going to have to. But I've just had a really...
You know, you were saying all that
time
out loud.
Yeah. Oh, on air.
First thing you said when
that.
You sat down. Come on, Barnes, you can get through this. Don't let him drag you down. I hope we've made you laugh, because what else is there?
Absolutely.
So we'll be back next week attempting to do more. As I said earlier, John at absoluteradio.co.uk if you want to get in touch about anything during the week, if you want the I Love You But dedication, or you want to pick us up on anything for next week's unfinished business, Will checks the email every other day. Religiously.
He checks the email midnight on a Friday, religiously.
Yeah, I tell you what. Yeah. If you could hear the words he says on a Friday at 10:30 when he realises he hadn't done it. We'll be back next week with more. Thank you for listening. Take care of yourselves. Toodles.
Bye, you filthy monkeys.
I like spinach. Isn't that the good stuff?